John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my rock?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is tie is this, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, January 12th, 2012. An illegal settlement outpost in eastern Hebron is evacuated and dismantled, and a wheelchair-bound Palestinian girl is hit by a settler car in Hebron. These stories and more coming up, so stay tuned. In a ruling of 6 against 5, the Israeli High Court has upheld an emergency security measure enacted in 2003, which prohibits spouses of Israeli citizens from attaining Israeli citizenship. The ruling is expected to affect nearly 100,000 Palestinians and other nationals who are married to Israeli citizens and must constantly apply for permits to remain inside Israel. The law was initially imposed to prevent militants from entering the country via the marriage route, and has been in place for nearly 9 years, despite being an initial temporary security law. In other news, after an illegal outpost was removed near the West Bank settlement of Shiloh on Monday, the local civilians were warned to take precautions on the nearby road to protect themselves against revenge attacks. A revenge incident occurred when the settlers hid near the road and began to throw stones at the passing cars before firing live ammunition. Suleiman Rabo, a Palestinian security officer, was injured in the attack. In related news, at dawn today, Israeli forces took down and evacuated a settlement outpost established in 2007 in the eastern part of the West Bank city of Hebron. The outpost, Avidche, named after a settler killed in 2007, has been destroyed and rebuilt several times since its establishment. Also in Hebron, a 13-year-old girl, Hiba Abdul Ghaffar, was hit by a settler car on Thursday near the Ibrahimi Mosque. Ghaffar, who is wheelchair-bound, suffered mild injuries and was taken to a nearby hospital, where the head of the Red Crescent's emergency ward claims the girl was on her way to school when the settler car hit her. Elsewhere in the West Bank, in a separate dawn raid, three Palestinians from the village of Madama, near the northern West Bank city of Nablus, were arrested and taken to an undisclosed location. Patrols were spotted entering the city just after 2 a.m, and that the three young men are identified as Ahmad, Mohammed and Abdullah Al-Ket, aged 21, 22 and 23 respectively. They were taken after the army entered and searched their homes. That's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, January 12th daily roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. We hope that you will join us again tomorrow. This was brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, William Gibson.
That was the sound of the U.S. war in Afghanistan going down the toilet after U.S. Marines desecrated the bodies of insurgents they had just killed by pissing on them.
As he zoomed in on one heart,
going in like a shower.
Stand the whole thing.
There was exactly one funny thing in that video the Marines posted. A certain part of their anatomy is too small to easily see. Perhaps it shrivels at the thought of the knives of the next insurgents they meet. The U.S. Marines who did this might want to remember a certain U.S. soldier in a Stryker armored fighting vehicle in Iraq who always peed on the street in the exact same place until outraged neighbors sent for the insurgency's best sniper to drop him with a single shot. Afghanistan, yesterday. A suicide bomber blew himself up inside the Kandahar police headquarters while General Abdul Razak was still there, according to Rahmatullah Arafi, the provincial deputy police chief. This is the second time General Razak has been targeted since he became the police chief last year. The bombing was ineffective, but it's not like they've only tried this once. Pakistan, Tuesday. The U.S. carried out its first drone strike into Pakistan since the November airstrike killed 24 Pakistani soldiers along the Afghan border. The latest missile attack killed 4 alleged militants, according to Pakistani intelligence officials. The drone strike took place near Miran Shah in North Waziristan. Meanwhile, deadly sectarian bombings continue in Iraq. Latafia, Iraq, yesterday. A roadside bomb went off near Shiite pilgrims, wounding 4 of them at a main road in a town, according to police. Kifl, Iraq, yesterday. A car bomb exploded near a vegetable market, killing 1 person and wounding 12 more, including Shiite pilgrims. Jebela, Iraq, yesterday. A roadside bomb went off near a vehicle carrying Shiite pilgrims, wounding 5. Mr. Barack Obama, Iraq is no role model for Afghanistan, and neither are so-called Marines who urinate on the bodies of the dead. Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today. On the 11th of January, protesters marched from the White House to the Supreme Court and also to Congress, protesting the continued existence of that infamous hellhole at Guantanamo Bay, which has now been open for 10 whole years. When you arrive at Guantanamo Bay, you know that there is a hell, and you know that there is a devil, and he lives in the White House.
Do you confess? We have ways to make you talk. How do you believe?
Even President Obama just signed the NDAA with indefinite military detention provisions. That could mean a whole new generation of detainees going to Guantanamo Bay. Despite the NDAA, protesters and lawyers specializing in detainee cases haven't lost hope that Guantanamo Bay can be closed forever. Here's what they had to say in front of the Supreme Court on the 11th of January, 2012, the 10th anniversary of the opening of Guantanamo Bay.
Of the Center for Constitutional Rights, truly heroes of our movement, the legal collective that filed the first habeas petitions on behalf of the detainees just days after the first ones were brought to Guantanamo, a point at which the Bush administration said we weren't even entitled to know their names out of concern for the safety of their families. This, of course, was hogwash. Center for Constitutional Rights has for years now led the effort to get basic human and constitutional rights delivered to these detainees.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the Center for Constitutional Rights, I'd like to thank all of you for coming out and supporting this amazing, amazing effort. These kinds of battles for social change, to right the wrongs and to correct the past, attack that this government has gone on doesn't just happen in the courts. The courts are an important part of it, but it also happens in the streets. It's the people like you that come out, that are sacrificing, and thinking of the men that are in detention as you are out here, as we're out here on this cold and rainy day. This is what change is about. This is why we sent this message to President Obama. This is why we're sending the message to the Congress, and this is why we're sending the message to the Supreme Court. It makes sense for us to think 10 long years after this Guantanamo Bay was opened, how did we actually get here and where are we going? One thing that we know, and Tom has talked about the incredible legal battles that have been going on, the center has been very proud to be a part of that. But we also have to look at where have we come. And we're in a country now that has completely confused the idea of criminal prosecution and military detention. It's gotten so bizarre that we've actually have a intelligence director that's a former general, and we have a military director that's a former intelligence officer. That's where we are in this country right now. We've also merged the functions that have been held dear for such a long period of time. The law enforcement function and the military function have been merged. They used to be separate. When we see the passage of the NDAA, where there is even a debate or a discussion as to whether people here in the United States who get picked up on criminal charges can be held in indefinite detention at the whim of the president and be put in military commissions, that is not a democracy. A democracy dies when we give the president the choice of whether to charge us militarily or charge us criminally. That is the path that we're on. I'm so happy that you all are out here. This is a big, deeply
important to us. In 2007, on a day like this, January 11th, rainy, 80 of us were arrested at the Supreme Court. 40 inside, 40 outside. The Supreme Court was briefly shut down. We didn't have the language yet, but we occupied the Supreme Court. Many of us took as names men detained at Guantanamo and gave the police the name of the Guantanamo detainee in lieu of their own name. About 30 stood trial on behalf of Guantanamo prisoners, prefacing everything they said by saying, "I'm an American citizen here on behalf of," and then listed the name of the detainee. It's wonderful to be back here. There's an important case about habeas that makes come here, which is, in a sense, the final moment for the court to act to uphold the spirit and the letter of its earlier decision. We'll hear more about that very shortly. Now I'd like to introduce Deborah Sweet.
Welcome! You know why you are so beautiful? You Guantanamo attorneys, you occupiers, you people who led us in orange jumpsuits, because you are maladjusted to injustice. Maladjusted to injustice. This is what we need in this country. We're all asking today, after 10 frigging years, why has it taken so long to get to this point, even? Well, we're looking at, across the globe, a United States government spreading indefinite detention, spreading targeted assassination. The proposed indefinite detention of people across the world, not only in black sites, but 2,000 of our brothers in Bagram right now, being held by the authority of the United States without habeas rights. And why? Says the Obama administration, because they're in a war zone. You can't have the right to no charges against you, to have legal defense, to know how you're going to get out, because you're in a war zone. And why can't you get out of Guantanamo? Because it has been a remarkably effective prison in intimidating and terrorizing whole countries across the globe. We who are maladjusted to injustice, we who care about humanity and the planet, have just signed up. Whether it takes another year, months, or another decade, we are going to be here in this struggle to stop the crimes of our government. And I'd like you all to take out your smartphones, your pens, write down closeguantanamo.org. Sign up right now. Because if you do...
Jack Meyer. He served in the United States Navy and spent 7 long months at Guantanamo. He was so morally repelled by what his government was asking him and the other staff and guards to do that he filed for and was granted conscientious objector status.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak for just a minute. Today has been one of the most moving days that I've had since returning from Gitmo. Because down there I saw men in orange jumpsuits every day. And it was a place filled with hatred, a place filled with terror for people on both sides. And yet today, there was a level of personalization and humanization that was completely absent in Guantanamo Bay. The reason that that place can continue to work is because when I was there, we didn't know people by names. We didn't see them as people. We were taught and ingrained in us not to. They had numbers. Or they even, if numbers became too personal, then you referred to them by the cell that they were in. And sometimes they changed cells. So then the face wasn't even associated with anything. Constantly changing. Constantly dehumanizing the people that were there. Today, what you've done, you've put a face. I see people's faces, faces that I saw when I was there. I see people called out by name, appreciated as individuals, recognized as members of families. Thank you for coming out here today. This is far and away the most people I've ever seen care about the men that are down there as people. Thank you.
This is a great day for all the habeas lawyers, and there are hundreds of them around the country, because you've shown us that you, the citizens, are there and not just we, the lawyers, and that's really critical. I've been to Guantanamo about 25 times to see my clients. 5 have been released because of the Supreme Court decision in 2008 that was just mentioned. If you haven't had a chance to read the Sunday New York Times op-ed by Mr. Bagudian, the lead plaintiff, go back and read it. It's a very moving account of how his life was destroyed for 8 years in Guantanamo, but how he courageously is reconstructing it now. What I'll take back to Guantanamo on our next trip to our last client, Bansiah Belkacem, who will be there 10 years on January 20th, is an answer to the question he always asks me, which is, does anybody care? Does anybody notice what's happening to us? Why am I still here when so many others have gone? Why don't your courts speak out? Why doesn't your Congress speak out? This is all very confusing. I don't understand how this could happen. And believe me, it's almost impossible to explain it to him, and I've been in this case since 2004. What I can take back to him now is the passion and commitment of all of you. And that means hope for him, and that's something tangible and meaningful. So I want to say on behalf of him and the other men in Guantanamo, thank you so much for coming out today in this cold rain and showing that you care. Now let's multiply your passion from here around the country. Join peace groups in your own community, speak out on this issue, and be there for the men in Guantanamo who have no other advocates. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's wonderful to see you all here. I'm turning around and I'm looking at the Supreme Court of our land or of the United States, and it says equal justice under law. There is no equal justice under law. Guantanamo Bay is a prison that was created after the fact that houses that imprisons Muslim and Arab men exclusively. These men do not have equal justice under the law, and the men in the United States domestically who are faced with terrorism detentions and prosecutions also don't have equal justice under the law. And today I'm thinking of Jamal Arezyan. He is represented by the Center for Constitutional Rights. I've spent most of my days for at least the last 2 years thinking of this man. I want to tell you just a couple of words about him before closing. Jamal Arezyan is an Algerian. He's in his 40s. I've seen his pictures over the years. He's been aging at Guantanamo. He's been held now for 10 years without charge or trial. He's unjustly held. He should never have been there. It's extremely clear that this is a man who should never have been in Guantanamo. The government itself acknowledges that he has never committed any act of violence. He himself has said he has never, ever picked up anything except a pen and a paintbrush. He paints, and I hope soon in New York and perhaps across this country we can show the work that he's been doing, the paintings that he's been doing at Guantanamo, shreds of his humanity that are that we can see that we now have access to. So he must be set free. He must be resettled. He's afraid of going back to Algeria where he fled during the violence there. He went to Afghanistan. He was kicked out of Austria. There was a right-wing government that came in 1995 and didn't renew his visa. He ended up in Canada, and he's a French speaker, and then he was denied asylum there, and he was desperate, and he didn't want to go back to Algeria. He was very much afraid, and he ended up in Afghanistan. The American bombs started falling during the war. He fled towards the borders, and he was picked up and sold for a bounty to the U.S. Army. That's why he's in Guantanamo. This must end.
Shame,
indeed shame. And it will mean so much to him that we'll be able to tell him that all of you were here, that he's been remembered, that his photograph is visible, and that that you all here are committed to making sure that him and all those who've been unjustly detained are free. And I've been given this poem to close with. It's by Osama Hassan Abu Kabir. He was a Jordanian man detained at Guantanamo until 2007. And when I read his words, and hopefully you can read them with me, I think of Jamal Amezian because these words ring true to him as well. So we can try to do this open mic style and see how this goes. So, is it true?
Is it true?
Is it true that the grass grows again after rain?
Is it true that the grass grows again after rain?
Is it true that the flowers will rise up in the spring?
Is it true that the flowers will rise up in the spring?
Is it true that birds will migrate home again?
Is it true that birds will migrate home again?
Is it true that the salmon swim back up their stream?
Is it true that the salmon swim back up their stream?
Is it true?
Is it true?
This is true.
This is true.
These are all miracles.
These are all miracles.
But is it true that one day we'll leave Guantanamo Bay?
But is it true that one day we'll leave Guantanamo Bay?
Is it true that one day we'll go back to our homes?
Is it true that one day we'll go back to our homes?
I sail in my dreams.
I sail in my dreams.
I am dreaming of home.
I am dreaming of home.
To be with my children.
To be with my children.
Each one part of me.
Each one part of me.
To be with my wife and the ones that I love.
To be with my wife and the ones that I love.
To be with my parents.
My
world's tenderest hearts.
My world's tenderest hearts.
I dream to be home, to be free from this cage.
I dream to be home, to be free from this cage.
But do you hear me, O judge?
But do you hear me, O judge?
Do you hear me at all?
Do you hear me at all?
We are innocent.
We are innocent.
We've committed no crime.
We've committed no crime.
Set me free.
Set me free.
Set us free.
Set us free.
If anywhere still, justice and compassion remain in this world.
Justice and compassion remain in this world.
On this 10th anniversary, I trust that, that none of us here will forget these words.
That none of us here will forget these words.
I trust that none of us will forget Jamal Amezian.
I trust that none of us will forget Jamal Amezian.
And I trust that none of us will stop fighting.
And I trust that none of us will stop fighting.
To shut down Guantanamo.
To shut down Guantanamo.
And all unjust detentions.
And all unjust detentions.
Until the last man is free.
Until the last man is free.
All men at Guantanamo and all boys, but until the last man and woman is free indeed in unjust detentions. And until the torture and abuses which they have suffered. Are that there is accountability for such abuses. Thank you all, and onwards.
Here is an update on the whale war between Sea Shepherd and illegal Japanese whalers. On Wednesday, the 11th of January, The Australian Green Party denounced the Japanese harpoon ship Yoshimaru 3's violation of Australian territory waters as, quote, an invasion, demanding that the Australian Navy be sent to drive them off or capture the lawbreakers. The ship was last reported to be in Australia's World Heritage Area and territorial waters off Macquarie Island. Meanwhile, the Shonan Maru No. 2, which was boarded by Australian forest rescue activists with Sea Shepherd assistance when they also violated Australian territorial waters, has been forced to break off from following the Steve Irwin in order to drop the three activists off on the Australian customs ship Ocean Protector. She was replaced by the Yoshimaru No. 2. This means two of the three harpoon ships are accounted for and not killing whales. The factory ship and the third harpoon ship have temporarily escaped Sea Shepherd drone aircraft surveillance, possibly due to weather. They will not get away from the drones for long and have only one harpoon ship instead of three to murder whales.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com.